The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Kyle McCord focusing in the center. Carson Hinneman get the snap, back to pass. He'll look, middle of the field, pass Harrison, slipping left side, 15, 10-yard line, on a blocker to the 5, touchdown, Marvin Harrison, 19-yard pass, catch and run.
From about the 37.5, right up the middle, out of the hold of Jack Baumeister. The snap is back, the kick is away, it is up, and it is good! It's good! It's good! And the Utes have beat the Trojans at the Coliseum.
Milton stands in. The ball is knocked free. It's picked up by Alabama. And rumbling in for the touchdown is the Crimson Tide's Jihad Campbell.
I don't know if you can tell, but it's getting a little smoky in here. And it's well documented that you actually do not like smoking cigars. But how are you going to celebrate this on tonight?
Well, I'll chew on one for a while.
Here you go.
Tell you that. There we go.
Even if you're going to chew on it, nothing beats cigars on a Saturday, especially after a win over a heated rival. Our thanks to Learfield and CBS for the sound bites. Nick Saban and Alabama got to celebrate beating the Vols. So did Ohio State after a seventh straight win over Penn State. And how about Utah? Four in a row over USC. This one on a last-second field goal. Then you got to add Virginia's upset of previously unbeaten North Carolina. And you have what has become a typical college football weekend in 2023.
Typical, yes. This is college football. That's why I'm kind of baffled by all the ballyhoo. Why is everybody so freaked out? What are we going to do? We're going to have to get four teams. We can't do it. Well, we're not putting a playoff together yet. Give it a little time. It'll play out. It always does.
And we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. By the way, first win for Virginia over a top 10 team since 1995.
It's been a few years.
Yep. And speaking of which, this time next week, we will have our first edition of the 2023 College Football Playoff Poll heading toward the national championship game in NRG Stadium in Houston. That'll be played on January 8th. Is it safe to say this might be the most wide open race we've seen since its inception in 2014? We have games to be played this weekend before it comes out, but are you going to put it number one right now?
Oh, gosh. The most dominating team has been Michigan, yet they played the weakest schedule of all the Power Fives. I think that's pretty safe to say. They're 110th overall, period, schedule strength. So is it Ohio State? Is it Florida State, Oklahoma? They've all got very nice wins. But is that an indicator of who's best? Georgia's still the top dog to me until they prove me wrong. Still don't look like the championship team we've seen the last few years, though. So your answer to is it wide open? Yes, I believe it is. More than I can remember in what will be the 10th year of the playoff now.
And let's not forget all the one-loss teams. There's a bunch of those. Well, we had some close calls among top teams last weekend. Washington needed a late field goal to secure a win against Arizona State. Oklahoma held off a two-point conversion from Central Florida to avoid overtime. And Florida State entered the fourth quarter trailing Duke before earning a win to stay undefeated. So, who's on upset alert this week? Should Ohio State be wary of a trip to Camp Randall Stadium to face Wisconsin? Is it Texas, which faces Brigham Young, which had an impressive win over Texas Tech last week? Well, Longhorn coach Steve Sarkisian faces his alma mater Saturday in the Cougars. He's familiar with the coaching staff, some of whom he had as teammates under the great Lavelle Edwards.
Coach Edwards, I have one specific story that I always hold on to. I remember we were in a game, and it was right near the end of the first half, and it was a timeout, and there was some discussion on what play to call. And there was dialogue with Coach Chow, our offensive coordinator, and Roger French, our O-line coach, of what we were going to do. And nobody could really agree, and I'll never forget Coach Edwards looking at me and said, "Sark, what do you want to run?" And I referenced a play that I wanted to run, and he turned around and he said, "Okay, we're running the play I just referenced." And so I think one thing that he did a great job of in my time there was making you feel like the coach believed in you, you know, that there was rapport there as the quarterback, that I was his guy. And I think that that's something we've tried to do here, is that when you become the guy at quarterback, there's a sense of belief in that guy. And that's why there's that constant dialogue to try to put them in the best position that they feel comfortable with to go execute.
Some of our listeners may not be familiar with Lavelle Edwards. He basically put BYU football on the map. Their stadium is named after him. He won 257 games, won a national championship there. The guy was an incredible coach, and he coached that guy right there.
Yeah, and that, along with Norm Chow, who would know about all those great quarterbacks, offensive masterminds, and Sark's got Nick Saban in his coaching tree as well. It's pretty good company, I think. He would know about BYU. They've been in big games before. They've won big games. I think, you know, if this game were at BYU, I'd be a little bit more concerned. But being in Austin, I think they might just be able to pull one out.
Well, last Saturday, Oregon rebounded nicely after a heartbreaker against Washington, knocking off Washington State, staying in the running for both the Pac-12 and national championship races. How far the Ducks go will most likely depend on Bo Nix, who last week broke the record for most career starts at quarterback with 54. We'll have more on that number in a few minutes. But no doubt the native of Pinson, Alabama, is making noise across the country. The voice of Oregon, Jerry Allen, has watched his ascent this season.
Yeah, he's matured. I think he's grown up. I think, you know, when he was at Auburn, it was nobody's fault. Things weren't going really well. They were okay, but not great. And everybody's at fault for that. The quarterback takes most of the blame, but I'm sure there was some coaching and some of the play from his teammates that wasn't as good as it should have been, but the focus is going to be on the quarterback. And so he was having a rough time, and when it came time to make the decision to keep going there or get a fresh start, he chose Oregon and came out to Oregon, got married, you know, the year before he played, or that summer before his first season. And I think that it's just a lot of maturity and a fresh new start for him allowed him to show who he really is.
I don't know if he's the leader as far as the Heisman is concerned right now. There's several candidates, but he is, I feel pretty confident he's going to be one of the invitees come December.
It's looking that way, and I think the fact that, like you say, he started so many games, and I remember that first start was against Oregon. Isn't that ironic? And yes, Now that's where he is, and they've helped with his maturation, I think, along the way. He is definitely one of the nation's best quarterbacks. One thing that helps in that Heisman positioning is your team. And if this team's in the mix at the end as a national championship contender, then I think it helps him possibly get that invite. They cannot lose. Now, on the flip side, Utah is still in the mix too. They've only got the one loss. They need to continue to win.
Exactly. Well, Saturday's matchup between Tennessee and Kentucky features two teams smarting after their last games. 2 weeks ago, the Wildcats were drubbed by Missouri. Last weekend, Tennessee got handled by the Crimson Tide. Kentucky has lost the last two meetings to the Vols, but can make amends with a win in a primetime contest this Saturday. UK radio sideline reporter Dick Gabriel believes the extra week off should help their cause.
They had Alabama right where they wanted them. You know, Tennessee gambled a couple times and let Alabama grab the momentum. And so now you wonder, is Tennessee down or are they ticked off? But the one thing Tennessee has going for them is they've handled Kentucky of late. You know, Kentucky finally broke that long losing skid and actually won in Knoxville, won both here in Lexington, and they won in Knoxville. But lately it's been Tennessee that's overpowered Kentucky and you know, beat them with that tempo offense. So now a Kentucky defense that has had trouble communicating, especially in the back four and the back seven, has to really clean up its act. But they do get an extra week to do that, so, and to prepare. So that's obviously an advantage for Kentucky.
A little factoid to this game. Kentucky has not beaten a ranked Tennessee team since 1959. It's
really
been a while. Yeah.
And they play every year. Tennessee is Kentucky's biggest rival. I think that most Kentucky fans will tell you that. I don't think that's the case for Tennessee. It's a big game, but they just played probably their biggest rival. And there's possibly a hangover effect in play here. So a good chance for Kentucky in this spot, though they've looked horrible the last two games after the 5-0 start, and they need better play from Devin Leary at quarterback.
Absolutely. That'll be huge as far as this one is concerned. The last weekend of October typically means it's time for the world's greatest. Sorry, we aren't supposed to call it the libations party, but old habits die hard. One habit the Florida Gators would like to shake, though, in the annual meeting with Georgia, losing. In the last six meetings, the Gators have but one win and have lost the last two contests by an average of 25 points. But there are those who see the top-ranked Bulldogs challenged in a few areas this season, something Buddy Martin of Gatorbait Publications is counting on when the two get together in Jacksonville on Saturday.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. And Georgia's the man. They're not as good as they used to be. They just don't have the weapons on offense. The defense can be smothering, but I'm not so sure the defense is not vulnerable. All defenses are vulnerable. But Kirby's loaded with talent. I mean, so many good players. But, you know, the best team doesn't always win. Look what happened last weekend, all the crazy things that went on. So when stuff starts happening around what I call the Ides of Halloween, this, when they go up to Jacksonville and stuff starts happening there, you know, the full moon and crazy stuff goes on, a few turnovers here and there, I've seen games go the other way real quick.
Beyond the crazy stuff, though, Michael, it comes down to this. First time we'll see a Georgian offense without Brock Bowers in 3 years.
Yeah, that's huge. And gives Florida, I think, a little bit of a shot. They've won a couple of SEC games in a row. If they win this game, they're tied for first place and have the head-to-head. That's huge as well. Georgia has definitely been the team to beat here in the SEC, period. But the winner of this game for the last 8 years has been in that SEC championship game. And Florida's been in there, not just Georgia.
And one more thing, as mentioned earlier, Oregon's Bo Nix surpassed five other quarterbacks for the most starts at the position with 54 in the Ducks game against Washington State. The others, Sam Hartman of Notre Dame and Wake Forest, Colt McCoy of Texas, Kellen Moore of Boise State, Jake Browning of Washington, and Clayton Thorson of Northwestern, each had 53 starts in their careers. Nix began his career at Auburn, where he started as a freshman in 2019 before transferring to Oregon last year. As a comparison, how many starts were made by some of the other great quarterbacks in college history? For starters, Tim Tebow started 41 games for the Florida Gators between 2007 and 2009. Eric Crouch set the NCAA record at Nebraska between 1998 and 2001. He started a total of 35 games and left Lincoln as the all-time leader in career offense, winning the Heisman Trophy in 2001. Between 1982 and 1984, Doug Flutie started 36 games for Boston College on the way to the Heisman his senior year. Another Auburn great, Pat Sullivan, started 3 years for the Tigers and played in 30 games. He wasn't eligible to play as a freshman. He won the Heisman in 71. Obviously, the number of starts makes little difference in winning the coveted award, but Nix may indeed be on his way to the biggest prize in college football. For this week's U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish Catch of the Week, we have a first with a tackle-eligible play to win a football game. The Wisconsin Badgers needed a late touchdown and got it when quarterback Braden Locke found offensive lineman Nolan Rucci on a 3-yard pass to beat Illinois 25-21. Here's the call from Matt LaPay on the Badgers Sports Network.
Third and goal, Wisconsin at the 3. 21-18, Illinois leading. 31 seconds remaining in the game. DK wide left. Badgers overload. Heavy on the right. Snap the lock. Looking to throw. Got a man wide open. Left side. Caught. Touchdown. Wisconsin. Little tackle eligible action as the Badgers take the lead with 27 seconds to play. It was Nolan Rucci, Hayden's little brother, who is a big man on campus right now.
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. For find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. LindySports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
At Academy Sports and Outdoors, get the best gear from the top brands, all at the prices you'll love. And now, shopping is more convenient than ever at academy.com and on the Academy app. Enjoy free shipping on orders of $25 or more with sign-in, plus easy in-store or curbside pickup. Shop anytime, anywhere, and find the widest selection of colors, styles, and sizes. From grills to fitness equipment to workout clothes, everything you need to have fun out there is right here at academy.com.
The Lindy's Football Report.
It's another big Saturday of college football. Or is it Tuesday? Wednesday? To explain, here's Michael Butler.
There's nothing quite like college football Saturdays, or Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, or Fridays. Well, things have changed with television, and if you want exposure, TV can do it, but you might just have to jostle your schedule. Fridays used to be for high school teams. ESPN changed that. Thursday became a regular feature night for college football and even some marquee contests. Now there are several every week. As for the marquee part, And how about those midweek Tuesday and Wednesday affairs? There is a plenty. Why be bunched up with a plethora of games on Saturdays when you can take center stage on national television on a Wednesday night? Ask Jacksonville State. The Gamecocks have officially moved from the FCS to the FBS, competing in Conference USA under Rich Rodriguez. After four Saturday contests to start the season, JSU has bounced around from Tuesday to Thursday for five consecutive weeks. They will wrap up the regular season with three straight Saturday matchups. The avid football fan says thank you to the JSUs of the world. It's the reason we're in the midst of a pigskin marathon that gives us some brand of football just about every single day until the playoff.
It's time for Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and LindySports.com. Lynn, this time next week, we're going to have our first college football playoff poll. What do you think it'll look like?
I think it'll look a little different from what Associated Press has got. I think you're going to have, take the top seven or eight teams, and it's probably going to be the same culprits that are in there. But it won't surprise me if there's a little difference. There are several teams that have only lost one game that are good teams. And it wouldn't surprise me to see one of those teams sneak in there and maybe be ahead of a team that's undefeated. But I suspect the top 10 will be close to the same as AP, just probably in some different order. And, you know, and there aren't many teams. Georgia, you know, theoretically could have a upset for Florida. Oklahoma plays Kansas at Kansas. Kansas has exceeded everybody's thoughts. But really, I expect that the lead teams to probably go undefeated over the weekend.
Yeah, and we'll get into some of those picks here in just a minute. Meanwhile, we got a lot of controversy surrounding the game. We're not going to get into it this week, what's going on in Michigan, but also what's happening out at Southern Cal. The Trojans lose to Utah last weekend. There's been suggestions made by several media members that Caleb Williams sit out the rest of the year, protect himself from injury, use his time to prepare for the NFL, and in the meantime, Lincoln Riley doesn't show up for practice this week.
Yeah, that whole thing's a mess out there. We've talked about it on this show before. I'm against players staying out of traditional rivalry games at the end of the year. I'm against them staying out of their bowl games. So if that's what's happening, or that's what they say is going to happen to protect Caleb Williams instead of supporting the team, I would be against that. The deal with Lincoln Riley, I mean, you know, who knows? We've had a number of coaches kind of blow off steam, and they need to be the adult in the room when this thing happens. The Michigan thing's another deal. We can talk about that another day. But it's interesting that some of the lead programs, particularly Michigan, being there ranked and in a position to maybe play for the national championship, and they start having controversies go on. So we'll see what happens. But I hate to see it, and I got an opinion on how it's handled.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you think Caleb Williams will sit out, or you think he'll play?
I can't imagine that he would sit out. I'll certainly drop respect for Caleb Williams and Southern Cal. If he does sit out, we find out that's why.
All right. Well, let's move back into the SEC for just a minute and talk Sam Pittman and his future. Some say he's on thin ice at Arkansas.
Yeah, we've got 8 or 10 affiliates of this show that people are going to be listening to this show as we're talking about this right now. I wish I could talk to all of those guys and get their opinions of the average fan. I talked to a couple of people this week that have real insight into the Arkansas program. They're certainly not pleased with having lost six games already. I hope in his defense, realize that he's lost games to Alabama by one score, LSU by one score, both of those on the road. You know, he's lost to good teams, but then he also scored 3 points at home against Mississippi State last week. So I understand there's two sides of it. I would say the answer to the question, yes, he's on thin ice. I think how games develop and all is going to depend on what happens at the end of the year. He needs to win at least three out of his next four games.
Yeah, they're off this week. Then they've got Florida. They go down to Gainesville. And three of their final four games are against SEC teams. We'll see how that works out. Well, let's pick some football games this coming weekend. We'll start in the Big 12. It's funny to say that with Brigham Young being in the Big 12. Yep. But they're taking on Texas.
They had an impressive game against the Big 12 team last week. And Texas lost Ewer. So they've lost their quarterback for a number of games. I'm going to go with Texas. It's at home. Texas has more on the line. Top to bottom, Texas is going to have better players. But Brigham Young is dangerous, and first game out with a new quarterback could be scary. I like Texas, though, to win the game.
Oklahoma travels to Kansas.
Yeah, I'm proud for Kansas that they've done this. They're already eligible for a bowl. They'll win a couple of more games. Oklahoma will win that game. Kansas is not as good top to bottom. I think Central Florida really gave Oklahoma a scare last week. Part of that maybe because Dylan Gabriel, that's the quarterback for Oklahoma, was Gus Malzahn's quarterback, and maybe they knew how to play that. Kansas doesn't have that benefit, so I'll go with Oklahoma.
All right. How about in the ACC, Duke and Louisville?
If I knew if Riley Leonard was going to play for Duke, I'd feel more comfortable about it. I'm taking Louisville to win the game. I've covered games there. It's a good place to play. It's a good place to cover games. This is a good Louisville team, surprisingly good. Duke, surprisingly good as well. Not a real strong pick, but I'm going to take Louisville to win the game.
All right, out to the Pac-12. Oregon at Utah. This is a good one.
Yeah, got to like Oregon to win the game. Risling is still not going to play. Probably gone for the year for Utah. Disappointing loss last week for Oregon. But I like Bo Nix. I like them to win the ball game. I think they'll do it. And Utah's still got to play Washington, and at least Oregon's got that out of the way.
A couple of games in the Southeastern Conference will start in Lexington, where Kentucky plays host to Tennessee.
Another situation, you know, we got affiliates in Lexington and in Kentucky and Tennessee both. I'm going to take Tennessee to win the game. I think that you know, they're going to bounce back from that. Both teams have got a lot, you know, still to play. You know, the Kentucky's still got to play Alabama. They still got to play at Louisville, got a couple of road games. And Tennessee still got to play at Missouri and play Georgia. So I don't think either team will go undefeated the rest of the way, but I like Tennessee to win this one.
All right, and then Jacksonville, Georgia, and Florida.
I think Georgia will win the game. There's a history of inferior Florida teams beating Georgia teams. It could happen here, but I think Georgia will win the ball game even with Bowers out. Florida's still got to play at LSU, at Missouri, and Florida State. So I suspect they'll be underdogs in all three of those ball games. Florida's got a rough road to hoe to continue the surprising year they've got. I like Georgia.
All right, let's hear your upset special.
Baylor over Iowa State. Baylor hosts Iowa State. Iowa State's lost three. Baylor's lost four. Their records are about the same. I'll go with Baylor because they're the home team.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.